Welcome to an enlightening podcast from IslamPodcasts.com. We encourage our listeners to please comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please remind your family and friends to also visit IslamPodcasts.com for engaging discussions on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran, tafsir, seerah, and much more. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com as well as rate, review of iTunes.
السلام عليكم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله الذي أدى الأمانة وبلغ الرسالة وجاهد في الله حتى أتاه اليقين. وقال المولى عز وجل في القرآن المجيد بعد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: ولقد كرمنا بني آدم وحملناهم في البر والبحر ورزقناهم من الطيبات وفضلناهم على كثير ممن خلقنا تفضيلا. صدق الله العظيم. Brothers, today's discussion is about the mind. And the next week we will discuss the qalb, the heart. How do we change the hearts and minds? But this is what we want to do. We don't want to get out of this Ramadan without having changed, brothers. We don't want to leave this Ramadan or come out of this Ramadan without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiving our sins. We don't want to come out of this month without being a changed person. So how do we change the hearts and minds? The first point we need to understand is that the mind that we have, or the aql, this is what actually makes us special. And we need to give it attention. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the ayah that I just quoted, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ, that I honored the children of Adam. I gave them honor and respect and dignity. With what? Brothers, how are we honored? What gives us dignity? It is the fact that we have a mind, we have the aql, we have the ability to understand the haqq and to reject the batil, the falsehood. This is what makes us ashraful makhlukat. That's what makes us special. We are not special because we have a nice mobile phone. We are not special because, you know, we have achieved a certain thing. You know, I passed so many exams. Although that is good and we should do that. We are not special by how much money we have. But brother, we are special by our beliefs, by our ideas, because that is what elevates us above the animals. And that is what makes us human beings. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ, that I have honored and dignified and given respect to human beings. Because we have the ability to understand, the ability to believe in the haqq. And this is what we want to discuss today. What is it that we believe? How do we view life? What is our objective in life? The most treasured thing, what sets you and me apart from the animals, is our beliefs, our ideas, our mind. Well, what is in that mind? What do we believe in nowadays? Is it worthy of what a believer should believe in? Is it worthy what we want to look at. Brothers, the Quran, time and time again, it tells us that we need to use our mind to understand the purpose of our life. See, nowadays, we follow Islam because my parents are Muslim, so I'm Muslim. That's the level of understanding, unfortunately. Alhamdulillah, our parents are Muslim, and we are Muslim. But we must be Muslim for something more deeper reason than that. We must be Muslim because we understand it is the haq. So if I ask someone, look, you're a Muslim, why are you Muslim? You scratch your head, you know, I believe in the Quran, I pray. No, brothers, that's not why you're Muslim. Fundamentally, you are Muslim because you understand the meaning of La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. And not only because you say La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. This is what sets us apart. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us to use the mind. And if we don't use the mind to understand the truth, then we are no different from the animals. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَلَهُمْ أَعْيُنٌ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ بِهَا. He said, I gave them eyes, but they didn't see the truth with it. وَلَهُمْ آذَانٌ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا. I gave them ears, but they didn't hear the truth with it. They heard it, but they didn't comprehend it and not enter their hearts. And Allah Ta'ala said, وَلَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا. And I gave them intellects, minds. Here the word قلوب, heart, means minds. لا يفقهون بها. They did not have fiqh, understanding of the truth, even though we have minds. Subhanallah. And look how we use that mind. Today we understand, you know, which idol, which pop, you know, who's gonna win X Factor. We have more knowledge, isn't it? This mind of ours. We spend more time thinking about, yes, this person's gonna win. Or, well, the football season just started. My team is gonna win. This is the thinking. But is our thinking, this mind, used to think about, why are we in this dunya? Why am I Muslim? What is the purpose of my life? What is the objective? What should I be doing? What's my priority? Am I thinking about that? If I'm not, أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ سَبِيلًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that those whom I have given all of these faculties, but they don't use it to understand the truth. أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ. He said, they're just like animals. بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ سَبِيلًا. But they're worse than animals. Brothers, how can we be worse than animals? I tell you how. Animals have, they have eyes, they can see. Animals, they have a brain, isn't it? Yeah, animals, they have ears, they can hear, but they can't understand. But what makes us worse is when we have all of these things and we are able to understand and we don't understand. بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ سَبِيلًا. It makes us more astray, worse than even the animals. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in another verse, لَا تَعْمَ الْأَبْصَارِ وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَ الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ. He said, look, لَا تَعْمَ الْأَبْصَارِ. The eyes are not blind. وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَ الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ. But it is the minds which have become blind in the hearts. The heart. تَعْمَ الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ. The hearts in the chest have become blind. What does that mean? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that we have eyes, but we're still blind. What does it mean that we have eyes but we are still blind? Because we don't use it to understand the deen, understand the haq. We use it to understand things which are not going to save us on the day of judgment. Whether Arsenal win, or Man United win, or Liverpool win, or whoever wins the X Factor, Allah Ta'ala will not do a test on that. But when you go in the grave, the angel will ask you, Man Rabbukum, who is your Lord? What is your deen? Can we answer those questions? That is the issue. Brothers, the Quran, it tells us to think in an enlightened manner. See, when we think about Islam, or we think about our purpose of life, sometimes it's to the level we don't even think, what's the point? We think, yeah, my purpose is to pass the exam, to go to school, hang around with my mates, have a good time. That's the purpose of my life. And we think in such a, sometimes in such a shallow manner. The Quran, it teaches us to think deeply. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was sitting, and one mushrik, this idolater, he came, and he picks up some bones from the ground, some, you know, dry bones, and he crushed it in his hand, crushed it, and it became dust. And he said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, brother, this ayah is to tell us this is the shallow way of thinking about life, and we should not think like this. He said, مَنْ يُحْيَ الْعِظَامَ وَهِيَ رَمِيمٌ. Those who know Surah Yasin, you know I'm quoting from Surah Yasin. He said, who is going to bring, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you say after we die, Allah will raise us again. He will give us life again in Day of Judgment. What a funny idea. How can you believe something like this? Yeah? So he crushed the bones and he said, alright, tell me these bones that I just crushed become dust. Who's going to bring that back again? Because you're saying when we are dust, when we are buried and we die, that we will be brought up again. So who is going to bring this dust? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he says, وَضَرَبَ لَنَا مَثَلًا وَنَسِيَ خَلْقَهُ. He gives us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, look at this man, how shallow he is. ضَرَبَ لَنَا مَثَلًا. He gives us an example, you know, of the bones, yeah? وَنَسِيَ خَلْقَهُ. And he forgets himself. Say, الَّذِي أَنْشَأَهَا أَوَّلَ مَرَّةً. Say, the one who brought man into living in the first place, he will raise him up again. SubhanAllah, if you think about it, say, how shallow. You're talking about dead bones. Well, before that was a dead bone, that was a human being, and that was a walking, talking, breathing human being. How did that human being come about? You don't think deeply about this? You're so shallow that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought you, brought life from nothing. So if He brought you to life, and we are all living here, we are living, Allah has given us life. So of course, He will bring, He can bring, give life once again. لَخَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ أَكْبَرُ مِنْ خَلْقِ النَّاسِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look, why are you thinking so shallow? That the creation of the heavens and the earth is even greater than you. What are you? You're a speck in the universe, are we not, brothers? We are just a speck. Forget the universe. Just climb a mountain, you're a speck. Isn't it? That's all we are. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the mountains. He has created the earth. He's created the moon, the sun, the universe. And now you say, how can, you know, how will Allah bring man back to life again? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the Quran, He tells us to think in an enlightened manner. This is tanwir al-aql. It is the enlightenment of the mind. Where the mind, it thinks, it is enlightened by an understanding about what its purpose is. That is the person who is elevated. That is the one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored. That is the one who is above the level of the animals, who has the dignity and the honor, who knows what his purpose in his life is about, and does not think in a shallow way. But as the Quran Kareem, it tells us in so many places what life is about. What is the purpose of life? To get us to think. Life isn't about, you know, how good I am at Nintendo. how good, you know, I can beat the other guy at Nintendo Wii. Yeah? It isn't about, you know, how many, even, friends I have, and how much my friends respect me. Am I cool? My friends think I'm really something. Yeah? That's not what life is about. That is shallow to view life in that way. Brothers, you have a higher purpose. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a higher purpose. And we need to think about what that purpose is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا. He said, do you think, is a question to you and me. Yeah, so you need to listen to this question that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking us. He says, أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا. Do you think that I created you? This is a question from Allah. Do you think I created you عَبَثًا? For without any purpose. Just so you can just live your life, have fun, do what you like, go to school, you know, and just live a normal life and just think about, you know, how do I get a job, how do I, you see, is this, because this is the level of animals to an extent. So the animals think about food, how do I survive? Is that thinking just on the level of survival? Should our thinking be just on the level of survival? Or should it be more than that? That's what Allah Ta'ala is asking us. Do you think I just made you? I created you. We are here. Do you think Allah Ta'ala made us without any purpose? Without a deep reason? Without a higher purpose? وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ. That I made you and you're going to go off and do what you like and you're not going to return back to me? Is that what you think? That you're not going to have to answer for your life and how you lived? Subhanallah. Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us, actually, there is a deeper purpose in life. And that deeper purpose in life is to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first. That we have been created. Allah has made us. وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. We don't have to go far. Just look at ourselves. Subhanallah, look, how did we come? Who made us? It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He made us for a purpose. And that is to please Him, to worship Him, to live by His commands, to live that life, the honorable life, the dignified life, where we are pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And our higher purpose is akhirah. We are not thinking what we're going to do tomorrow. We are not thinking, what am I going to do after I leave school or after I leave college? I'm not thinking, what am I going to do when I'm 20, 25? I'm thinking, what is my life about? And how am I going to live this life? And how am I going to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment? That's the level of thinking that we are required to do. Brothers, if you look at the Quran, you know the Sahaba, they lived before Islam came, before Islam enlightened their minds and their hearts, before the Tanwirul Qalb happened with the Sahaba. They used to live shallow lives, shallow beliefs. They used to worship idols. They used to make their idols from raisins, food. And then when they got hungry, they used to have lunch. And you know what they used to have, yeah? So, this is the situation, brothers. This is how the Sahaba used to live. But the Quran came and made them think that actually this is nothing. This is nonsense. You have to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not these things. Because أَفَتَعْبُدُونَ مَا تَنْحِتُونَ. How shallow is that? That you make something and then you worship it. How can this be superior to you when it was dependent on you to make it in the first place? Think about it. That's why one Sahaba, I give you one example. You know, he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he had a broken idol in his hand. And he used to worship this idol, yeah? Broken idol. Rasulullah said to him, you know, what happened? He said, Ya Rasulullah, I've come to take Shahada, I want to be Muslim. Rasulullah said, okay, you can take Shahada, But, you know, tell me what happened. How did you, you know, come to this conclusion? What happened to the idol? He said, you know, this idol, I carry with me wherever I go. Yeah, I depend on this idol. I used to believe that this idol would protect me. So wherever I go, I would take it. And one day, I wanted to answer the call of nature. I was outside somewhere, I had my idol, and I had to go, basically, yeah? And I thought, it's somewhat dignified for me to take my God into the toilet, yeah? So he said, what I did was I left it under the tree. I thought, you know, I just leave him there, you know, in the shade, yeah? And I do my business and I come back. He came back, and you know what he found? His idol was wet, and it wasn't raining. And he saw a dog, and under the dog, there was some water still dripping. And he realized what had happened. So he got so angry, he said to his idol, look man, he said, look, you can't even protect yourself from this dog. You're going to protect me? So he kicked the idol and broke it to two pieces. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, here I am. Yeah, that's what happened. I come to, you know, understand that this is actually falsehood. That what you are saying, the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the haqq. I've come to profess Islam, accept my shahada. You see, so this is what Islam did to the Sahaba. It made them think. It made them think. Those, for example, I'll give you another example. They used to, you know, well, rivalry. Allah Ta'ala refers to Al-Hakim Takafur Hatta Zurkumul Maqabir. Yeah, that the worldly rivalry, they used to compete, yeah, in trading. Who can be more rich? Who can be more, have more money? Like today, you know, the competition may be, you know, who's got more Yu-Gi-Oh cards? I don't know, maybe for younger people, yeah, that one, yeah. Yeah, or who's got what game? Yeah. Whose team is winning? This is the competition. And that's the shallow competition that the Quraysh were in. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said to them, look, Al-Hakum al-Takasur, Hatta Zurtum al-Maqabir. He said, you spend your life in this rivalry until Zurtum al-Maqabir, until you visit the graves. Brothers, I want you to think. We're talking about the mind today. I want you to think a little bit. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say until you visit the grave? See, these people, when he said visit the grave, he doesn't mean, you know, like we go and visit the grave and come back. It's when you don't come back, meaning you've died. Yeah? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, look, you know, you have this rivalry in money and wealth until you visit the grave. He didn't say enter the grave. Why? I want you to think a little bit. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use the word visit as opposed to saying, enter the grave? You see, is the grave the final destination, brothers?
No.
If that was the final destination after we die, then you enter the grave and you stay there. But you're visiting it. A visitor, he goes to your house, does he leave the... when a visitor comes to your house, does he say, all right, then, you know, I'll sleep over for the next 10 days. Isn't it? No, he comes and then he goes. Yeah? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Hatta zurtumul maqabir, until you visit the grave, meaning that after you enter the grave, it's not finished yet. You're going to be raised back alive again. You're going to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you're going to answer for your actions. Can you see that? So this worldly rivalry that they used to have. وَمَا مَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا غُرُورٌ. Allah Ta'ala said, this wealth and provision of the dunya is just deception. Think about it, brothers. Is your Nintendo, is your game, is your money, is your friends? Yeah, is the music, these shallow things in life. You're going to take it to your grave with you? So why should that dominate our lives? That's the question. If it's dominating our lives, and our life is just about that, and not about worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that game, that friend, has deceived us. It's a deception, isn't it? Because we thought this is it. But this isn't it. There's something beyond it. That's why Allah says, "Wa ma mata'u al-hayat ad-dunya illa ghurur." That this wealth and things that people go crazy about, is an illa ghurur. It's just a deception. It's deception, nothing but deception. So brothers, the Quran, as I said time and time again, it made the Sahaba think, look, the purpose of your life is not money, is not wealth, is not your friends. It's something more than that. It is the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you live your life as a Muslim? Do you obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When you eat, do you eat halal? When you have friends, do you make friends with people who remind you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Are you good with your parents? Do you pray? Do you fast? Are you concerned about your ummah? This is your purpose in life. This is for living, not survival. Living as a Muslim, living as a believer. Brothers, another thing, another key concept we need to have, because we're talking about change. The first thing we need to know is our purpose in life. That will change our life. And that's what happened to the Sahaba. The second very important point we need to understand, that our deen is comprehensive. This month is the month of what? Guidance. Is it not the month of guidance? شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنْزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ. This is the month when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Quran as a what? As a guidance. This guidance, brothers, is comprehensive. Means that we have to live by the Quran and Sunnah. Means that every aspect of our lives, this is what it means to live, to know the purpose of your life, is that every aspect of our life, we have to go back to Quran and Sunnah and live our life according to Quran and Sunnah. Allah Ta'ala, He criticized those people, the Quraysh. الَّذِينَ جَعَلُوا الْقُرْآنَ عَضِيمٌ. Those who made the Quran into parts. So if you take the Quran, brothers, do you believe in the whole of the Quran or some of the Quran? The whole of the Quran. But Allah Ta'ala said, there are people, الَّذِينَ جَعَلُوا الْقُرْآنَ عَضِيمٌ. Those who made the Quran into parts. What does that mean? This is halal? Yes, I like to eat that. That's okay, that's good. Yeah, ahallallahu al-bay'. Yeah, Allah permitted business. Yes, I want to be a businessman. Yeah, I like this part of the Quran. Wa harrama riba. He forbade usury, interest. I like to take a loan, student loan. That's a problem. You see what's happening? Eid, we like Eid, what shall we buy for Eid? We like Ramadan, iftar, food, what shall we get for iftar? Isn't it? But we need to pray. Allah said, Aqimu Salah. Pray. We need to fast. We need to worship Allah. We need to be concerned about the Ummah. Are we following those parts? You see what's happening? This Quran, we are picking and choosing. We are saying we are taking the bits we like. And we are leaving the bits which is difficult, or we don't understand, or we don't want to make the effort to understand. And that's why we need to understand this guidance is comprehensive. فَرَبِّكَ لَنَسْأَلَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ عَمَّا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. By Allah, Allah will question us, He said, if we do this, if we pick and choose from the Quran. That is why let us make this month, a month when we commit ourselves, that man, I'm going to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm going to live by Islam. I'm going to live by this deen. And I'm going to make an effort to understand this deen. So I can live by it better. And I can taste the beauty of this deen. Because if you don't know what it is, you will not appreciate it. And its beauty and its light will not become manifest to you. So we need to make that commitment in this month. Brothers, that is the second aspect of Tanwirul Aql. If you want to have enlightened thinking, First thing I, what did I say? We need to understand the purpose of our lives. That we are here to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we are accountable on the Day of Judgment, and we must live by this deen. The second point I said, in enlightening our minds, in understanding the deen, is that the deen is comprehensive. The deen is complete. This Islam is a complete way of life. And we need to live this Islam completely. And we need to understand it completely. And we need to make the effort. What is the third important point in tanwir al-aql, in having this enlightened thinking? The third point, brothers, is that it gives us an objective towards life. It gives us a viewpoint about life where we want to change the injustice, the munkar, the falsehood, the kufr, the shirk around us. We are not content just to live by this deen. We've understood we need to live by this deen. We need to change. But we need to change those who are around us as well. This is the third aspect. It gives us a vision that we actually need to work for change. We need to live by Islam and we need to work for Islam. And that is the third aspect, brothers. We need to work for Islam. And of course, we can't work for Islam if we're not living by it. And we can't work for Islam if we don't understand it. We need to do those things. But also, we need to work for Islam. It's not enough to become some big sheikh and just sit in your mosque all day and you don't work to change the munkar around you. Ma'ad Allah. This deen has taught us that we need to change and need to change the munkar around us and to work for this deen. And I'm going to give you some examples, brothers. Perhaps there isn't a better example than the example of Imam Ali radiallahu anhu, karramallahu wajhahu. The example of Imam Ali. He is a person. He had tanwir al-aql. He understood the purpose in life. He changed. He stood up for this deen. And not only that, he also worked for this deen. He worked for Islam. He stood up for Islam. He struggled for Islam. And he gave his life for Islam. So let's start. He was only 8, as you know. The seerah mentions that Imam Ali, karamallahu wajhahu, he was only 8 years of age. When he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was praying. And Rasulullah, he invited him to Islam. And you know what he said? He said, look, let me go and ask my dad first. See what he thinks, whether I should become Muslim or not. Did he ask his father in the end? Did he? He didn't. Because that's shallow. He came back to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, I want to embrace Islam. But I did not ask my father why. Look at the enlightened, the tanwir al-aql, the enlightened thinking. He said, Ya Rasulullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not ask my father when he made me. So I'm not going to ask my father today when I'm going to believe in him. And he took the shahada and he became Muslim. He understood the purpose of his life. Subhanallah. After that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, him and a few companions, Imam Ali, Umar, Abu Bakr al-An, his wife Khadija, they started, what did they do? Did they say, look, society, we, alhamdulillah, we have been enlightened, we have iman, and we just sit in our houses all day and talk about Islam, while all the munkar and the shirk is happening in society? Is that what they said? Is that what they did? They started to give da'wah. They came out and started to invite the people to this beautiful thing that they have embraced. And Rasulullah, he invited people, you know, for food. He strived to give them da'wah. And he invited, all the elders were there. And also Imam Ali, the young boy who was there. And Rasulullah, he invited them. He said, he asked them to embrace Islam. And they got angry with him. And they said, why is this, why you brought us? Brothers, who stood up? It was Imam Ali. He said, my feet may be weak, my legs may be weak, but I will be your wasi. I will be the one who will be your supporter. I will support you in your word. That was Imam Ali. He entered the da'wah. Can you see? He stood for Islam. He stood up that day and he committed himself to work for Islam, to carry the da'wah in society, to live by Islam and to ask others to live by this deed as well. Not only that, you know, Imam Ali, he used to be, you know, what was the name of his sword? Dhul-Fiqar. Yeah? Fiqar is the, you know, the pointy bit of the sword, yeah? He says Dhul-Fiqar, the one who had two points. Yeah, he also struggled in the battlefield. Imam Ali embraced Islam. He lived by this deen. He worked in society for change. And also, he was also in the battlefield. He was called, what was he called? What was his laqab, brothers? Asadullah al-Ghalib. He was the lion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do we live our lives like that? Do we live our lives like lions? We worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We want to live by this deen. And we want to work for this deen. Or do we interested in silly little things? This is what we need to think about. How do we think? Our mind, is it narrow? Are we thinking in an enlightened manner? Brother, let me give you an example of the bravery. What happened? This young boy who couldn't stand on his feet. On his weak legs, he stood up in front of all the elders. You know, in the Battle of Khaybar, one of the battles. Yeah, of Khaybar, with the people of Khaybar, the enemies of Islam at that time. And Khaybar, they had a warrior. And the warrior of Khaybar, you know what his name was? What the time is. His name was Marhab. And Marhab, he really was full of himself. And he thought, no one can beat me. Yeah, I'm a warrior. So when Rasulullah went and faced Khaybar, the fortress of Khaybar, Marhab came out and he started to sing poetry. He said, قَدْ عَلِمْتُ خَيْبَرْ عَنِّي مَرْحَبْ. Look how arrogant. He said, Khaybar knows I am Marhab. شَاكِ السِّلَاحِ بَطَلٌ مُجَرَّبْ. He said, I am the one fully equipped with my weapons. بَطَلٌ مُجَرَّبْ. The well-trained, experienced hero, warrior of the war. إِذَا الْحُرُوبُ أَقْبَلَتْ تَلَحَّى. And when the war advances and it rages, I am there. So he said that. He tried to frighten Imam Ali by saying that. Imagine a duel. This is a duel. So he's saying that to Imam Ali. I'm Marhab. Who are you? You're nothing. Yeah? See what you can do. Imam Ali, he said, أَنَا الَّذِي سَمَّتْنِي أُمِّي حَيْدَرَى. He said, I am the one. My mother named me Haydara, the lion. كَلَيْثُ غَابَةً كَرِيبُ الْمَنْظَرَى. I am like that dreadful lion you meet in the forest. You see that? So you know in the forest, the last thing you want to meet is a lion, isn't it? Yeah? He said, well, I am that Karibul Mandara, the one you're scared to look at. That lion in the forest. أَوْفِيهِمْ سَاعِكَيْدُ سَنْدَرَى. And I will give you a befitting reply. And subhanAllah, he struck him down. They fought and he struck him down. And in the battle, he lost his shield. You know what he did? He took the gates of the gates of Qamus, one of the fortresses of Khaybar. He lifted that up and he used it as a shield and he fought. And the Muslims defeated Khaybar and Allah gave them victory that day. But the next day, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, oh Ali, how did you pick up that shield? It's a metal shield, brother. Sorry, how did you pick up that metal gate? that door. It's not wooden, it's metal. Imam Ali said, Ya Rasulullah, you know, I picked it up. Rasulullah said, do you mind showing me how you did that? So Ali, he's picking it up, he's trying to pick it up, he can't even lift the corner. It's so heavy. Rasulullah said, Oh Ali, yesterday Allah gave us victory and Allah gave you the strength. It was Allah who gave you the strength to defeat your enemy. And that was Imam Ali, brothers. That was Imam Ali, the one who was chosen. Do you know, before he was chosen to fight Marhab, Rasulullah said, tomorrow I'm going to choose someone to go to Khaybar, the one Allah and His Messenger loves. You know, Umar ibn Khattab, he said, I spent all night making dua, Allah, if only I am that person. And the next morning, Rasulullah said, where's Ali? I don't see Ali. They said, Ali is ill, he has an illness, he can't see with his eyes. Rasulullah, bring him to me. And they brought him to him, and he put some saliva on his eyes, and he got better. And this is when he went and fought Marhab. That is the example of Imam Ali, brothers. The one that hid, couldn't even, you know, he was, what he meant by weak is that he was shaking. You know, when you're a kid and your elders are there, his legs were shaking, man. And he stood up there and he said, Ya Rasulullah, these elders, they're not standing up, but I will work for you. I will work for this deed. That was Imam Ali. Brothers, today, we gotta live by this deed. We have to understand this deed. We gotta change ourselves. Get out of this shallow way of living. Get into, embrace the light of Islam. Understand Islam. And understand that there is a wider struggle. Because we don't know what's going on. Today, brothers, do you know? Your Prophet, the one you love, you follow, whose sunnah you follow, he has been called a terrorist. This kitab that you read in Denmark has been compared to Mein Kampf, to Hitler's book. Na'udhu billahi min dhalik. Why? Because the Muslims, they're awakening. They're understanding their purpose in life. They want to live by Islam completely because they know Islam is a complete way of life. And so there is a struggle going on. We need to understand. We need to live by Islam and we need to understand that struggle. We need to see how we fit in that struggle. And that struggle, brothers, is the struggle of the da'wah. We are not students. We are not kids. We are da'wah carriers. That's our aim. Brothers, what are we? We are da'wah da'is. We are people who carry the da'wah. So let's understand this deen. Let's take up this work for da'wah. Let's embrace this deen and follow this deen. And understand what is the responsibility for us. And then we will have complete tanwir al-aql. And we will have that enlightenment in our understanding, inshaAllah. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com.